This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Awkward Giraffe presents the Festival of Critical Comedy 2025 on the weekend of the 29th and 30th of November, 2pm to 8 at the Melbourne Unitarian Peace Church, 110 Grey Street, East Melbourne. Awkward Giraffe promotes comedy to make you think. Lineup includes comedy legends Greg Fleet and Nick Sun, and the groundbreaking Ridiculousness and Doppelgangster, and much more. Free entry. For more details, see awkwardgiraffe.net. Awkward Giraffe proudly supports 3CR.
Hi, I'm Kim Salmon. I'd like to have a quick word about public radio, particularly 3CR. The thing about public radio is that it's more open than the more formatted types of radio to what's going on around it. So when you listen to it, you're more likely to hear a reflection of real life. And 3CR, being in the heart of Smith Street, Collingwood, is a particularly good example of what I'm talking about. If you'd like to subscribe, the number is 94198377.
You've been listening to the sand. You could never understand.
If I were not a man, I would like to be a bird. As I am a man, I'd do the next best thing and ride a bicycle. That's from the Reverend Malty, and How to Ride a Bicycle from 1892. And...
well, we know where we're going, but we don't know where we've been. And we know what we're knowing, but we can't say what we've seen.
All right, you've had enough time to work it out. Just sit up a bit on that bike, take a breath, bring down the cadence a bit, and if you're a bird, find a perch somewhere. You're listening to the Arabug Radio Show here on 3CR, podcasting, streaming, or listening on that old AWA wireless in the kitchen. Many thanks to Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! Always nice to have a window into one side of America we don't get to hear about. We've got a good show to coming up today. Very modern show, so out of the 19th century this time, and into apps and how to get from A to B. We're going to be joined by Vince to explain how this works. But otherwise, along for the ride, pedalling furiously as I'm coasting on the back. Good morning, Faith.
Good morning, Val.
And you brought a bit of sunshine and spring weather.
Yeah, that was me.
Yep. Take it. Look, we've got a... it's amazing springtime in Melbourne. I'm sorry if we seem to be a little bit Melbourne-focused sometimes, but the greenery that just exploded in the last 2 weeks has been phenomenal. I'm going to share a bike moment about that.
That was mine, probably.
Yeah, well, you go first. So I'm going to call it the David Attenborough ride from now on, actually. Some of the avenues in Melbourne, when the plane trees and the oak trees and the elm trees are in full bloom in those tunnels of green that we find either alongside our creeks or rivers or some of our leafy streets. Anyway, one of my normal Sunday rides to, what's the collective noun for ducklings? Squad? No, couldn't be. Anyway, I'm getting blank stares here. It's not a murder of ducklings, I can tell you that, or a parliament. Anyway, two big broods of ducklings, one of them which I reckon there were 16 ducklings in, the other about 8 or 10, and it was just fascinating. absolutely lovely. Like I said, a little bit
of... It is a brood.
It is a brood. There we go. Well done. So, look, that was a little bit of wildlife spotty.
It
was
there's also a waddling.
I like that, actually.
Yeah.
I got one in the quiz the other day, a charm of finches, which I thought was really nice.
Yeah.
I'd never heard before. Anyway, that was just springtime, life longing for itself, actually along the sides of the Yarra River, mums bringing up their babies. What else could it be? Where else would you want to be? Faith?
Well, it's kind of avian, but not the at the new life end of the spectrum. There's a very infamous magpie on the Murray Creek Path at Carr Street who, you know, every year there's someone in hospital being carted off in an ambulance, and he's taken a chunk out of my ear. Like, he's really aggressive to everyone and goes for the eyes, goes for the ears. People have to duck down under the bridge, so I think that's how they end up in ambulances. They come off on the, you know, and every year in early spring, I check the magpie map and think, God, maybe he's dead. And then he pops up the first, you know, and he's one of those magpies, they're all red. There's no yellow, like the red ones are the magpies who've injured someone. And it's just a whole series of alerts about him. And then this year I noticed they all stopped in October. And I've ridden three times up that path since then and not come near him and haven't seen him. And there's no more reports. Ooh. And I'm wondering if finally, because 20 years is a long time to have to wait, but maybe, I don't know how old he was when Magpie Map started, but yeah. Maybe we finally, the reign of the Castrate Magpie is over.
And he did, there's no successor. There's nobody to carry on the work.
Let's not speak too soon, but no, not at this point.
I had a magpie the other week and he actually managed to fly around in front of me and peck the inside of my nose.
Oh.
It drew blood. It wasn't that bad, but I don't know how he managed to get in front
and
then get inside the, like, inside the nostril and... Anyway,
they are a treasure, you've got to say.
Yeah,
they are.
An 8-octave range. One of the few polyphonic birds can recognise up to 60 humans.
Yeah.
And hate them all.
And hate them all.
Yeah.
Can recognise a lot of dogs too.
Yes. Yeah. That's generally amazing. Love them.
It's funny, the work that we do, actually, we dig up concrete and there's a lot of worms at the bottom of the concrete. And so we've made friends with all the magpies in the area. They associate us with food because as soon as they see the concrete come up, they're in and they know who we are. They follow us from street to street as we, as we do our work.
Yeah.
Now, anybody who's listening, and this is not the gardening show or the David Attenborough show. It's a show about bicycles. Riding here from one spot to the other. Vince, you got a little moment to share for us, apart from getting your nose cleaned by a magpie?
I mean, maybe a segue to how I came about riding more on bike paths and wanting to do the app that we built. But the last two times I've been to Tasmania bikepacking, I've come back with a significant souvenir. And the first time... a few years ago, I was doing the Tassie Trail with a friend and she said she wanted to bring a friend along and I said, okay, no worries, a bit nervous about that, but that was fine. And that friend has now turned into my partner. So I came back with a partner. And then the last time my partner and I went bikepacking through Tasmania over Christmas, we came back with another souvenir and now we've got a little boy called Hugo. And so he's just under 3 months old. So we're a bit scared to go back to Tasmania. But That's kind of why we've been doing more bike paths and things like this, because it's more about self-preservation, I think, to try and look after the extended family I've inherited through Tasmanian bikepacking.
Bikepacking trips, yeah.
It was one of the great historical things about... so think of England before the mass production of bicycles and making them cheaper. People used to get married within a five-mile radius of where they lived. Once people could afford a bicycle... And you can see it in the DNA, ancestry DNA, in places like Northern England still. Once that expanded, things changed completely, like you going to Tassie, you know. It's still the same thing getting repeated. It is a wonderful place. You could bring a lot of things back from Tassie, actually. That you, you know,
clearly, highly recommend.
Now we've got a little bit of news.
Yeah. So late on Friday, the federal government announced that they'll be reinstating the European Standard 15194. For the regulation of importing electric bikes into Australia,
yes,
which is a huge, it was the standard Australia used to use. Barnaby Joyce, in his wisdom, made it easier to import electric bikes that don't meet that standard, and what we've seen is a whole heap of electric motorbikes being sold under the guise of being electric bikes. And
for use on private property.
Yeah. So the federal government's going to be working towards a framework to better regulate electric mobility devices, including scooters. But in the meantime, with immediate effect, that European standard will be used again. So Christmas coming up, if you're going to buy an electric bike, particularly if you're buying it for your kids, don't buy a bike that doesn't meet that standard, because, A, if it doesn't injure or kill your kid, you might well end up just losing it and having it confiscated and removed. Good news. It also is good news because the Victorian government recently had a bit of a brain fart idea about banning electric bikes from public transport. And while the decision on that has not yet been made, now that we have a proper standard in place at the federal level, it would be much easier for them to discriminate between bikes that meet that standard and are not known for going up in flames on public transport and bikes that don't. And that would be a better way to regulate those risks on trains.
Tommy, is this the Four Corners effect?
I think Four Corners
There's
been a long campaign. Yeah. Four Corners was just one. One small part of it, but you know, Bicycle New South Wales, Bicycle Network, WeRide, and a lot of even, you know, at the bug level, advocacy groups have been working really hard on the Victorian government, and New South Wales government have also been lobbying the federal government, because we need this regulation to then get the states to properly regulate. So that's a good step. And in other good news, two good news items this week, the parking levy that is collected in the City of Melbourne and four other LGAs, $15 million of that will be allocated to those five LGAs to build more walking and riding infrastructure. So, and that's $15 million per year for 10 years.
This is Melbourne City Council.
Well, the parking levy is collected in Port Phillip, Marybeck, City of Melbourne, Stonington, and Yarra. The distribution of how much each LGA gets to be spent depends on how much of their LGA falls within the levy boundaries.
Yep.
So, for example, Marybeck, there's only a tiny strip that falls within the boundaries, so Marybeck will only be getting $500,000 a year.
Yep.
But it's already allocated. We know exactly which projects have been waiting for funding.
Guaranteed.
And it means they can be done. And it's just another small boost to each council. If you know you have this guaranteed income to be spent on walking and cycling infrastructure, you can do it.
And good to see it more localised as well.
Yeah.
Obviously the big thing. Hey, listen, we'll be back with Vince just after this break.
Yarrabug would like to thank Bicycle Network for their financial support. Bicycle Network, a not-for-profit with 45,000 members, working to get more people riding for their health and well-being. Bicycle Network is proud to sponsor the Yarrabug program and support its important advocacy for safer and more accessible riding. By becoming a Bicycle Network member and or participating in one of their iconic riding events, you're supporting Bicycle Network's ride-to-school programs and advocacy campaigns to make it easier for everyone to ride a bike every day. Visit bicyclenetwork.com.au for more information.
And welcome back to the Yarrabug Radio Show. Our guest today is Vince Maskey of the VicBug app.
Yep.
And Val touched on the 19th century before, sorry.
Yes.
And we know that in the 1890s, people who'd started loving bikes in Melbourne headed out on the country roads and started mapping those roads. They were the first maps made of Victoria, and went on to become the Broadbent car maps.
Ah.
It was the Broadbent when he was a rider. He got riders all over Victoria to send him information about local roads so he could put them all together, which is kind of what you've been doing, Vince.
Oh, yeah, to an extent, I suppose. Yeah, the aim's to create sort of a bike path app that just shows all the bike paths in Melbourne, or most of them. It's really hard to sort of get them all on there because, you know, there's short ones and so all the main ones. I think there's about sort of 60, 65 mapped bike paths on there. And then as I was doing that, I came across Transport Victoria. They have a bicycle infrastructure cycle lane data set. And that was really exciting because it shows the difference between... I don't know why I find this so exciting. Maybe most people don't find it, but anyway. Well, because it distinguishes between, you know, actual painted lanes, buffered lanes, shared parking lanes, and segregated lanes. And that's really important because, you know, when you're riding, you want to know if you're going to be safe. And that's kind of the idea of the app is just reinforcement of where you want to go and then giving people the option of how they'd like to get there. And so it's all mapped out and ready to go. And I've tried to make it as interactive as possible. I'm not an app builder by trade. you know, with the invention of, AI and everything, I've been able to use that and leverage that to sort of help me get to the point where we're at. But yeah, it's just there to try and make people's lives easier, I suppose, and get more people on a bike or solve problems for those, you know, who maybe need a bailout or have... bit off a bit more than they can chew.
Do you grade them in what you would say? I mean, if we're going to give a mark out of five for perception of safety, or actually safety, or a separated lane, can you use that to curate your own ride in some way as to get the safest route?
So
I know that's a relative term, you know.
Well, no, it actually, so it uses a mapping platform, it's called Graphhopper, and it actually does rank and scale the type of bike path or cycle lane. So if you go to the app, you'll see there's actually two options, and one's sort of for bike, like off-road bike paths, and one is for off-road bike paths or cycle lanes. So, yeah, you can actually rank how you want to map if you want to get from from point A to point B, and it happens to be over a wide area, or you can sort of, hold down on the map and then just sort of look at the cycle lane and assess whether you want it, because it's got sort of a street view built into it as well. So is that what you meant?
Yeah, it is somewhat. I mean, I'm sort of taking the hypothetical as I'm a little bit of a newbie. I want to ride from, let's say I want to ride from Yarra to, I'm going to say, West Footscray. You know, how do I get the ride that I'm going to feel safest on? I know it's obviously changing all the time. Mm. I'll give a reference. I mean, if I go into Google Maps and click the bicycle thing and I look at it and I go, well, I'm not riding that. You know, you can already see where they're pushing you on a road that you wouldn't be riding on.
So, yeah, that's pretty much the main purpose of this app is because, yeah, Google kind of doesn't distinguish between, you know, what kind of cycle lane it is or bike path, and it actually doesn't have the most optimised routing system for bikes. It will push you on busy roads. And then not to mention, you know, how much are bike lanes and bike paths changing now? You've just got the Caterpillar Bridge, you know, the Rainbow Bridge. You're about to get Gipps Street Bridge open. You're about to get
The Veloway.
So, yeah, it does need constant updating. Yeah. It needs people to be updating it. And Google... Well, it's a bit behind on that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And would it, as a bug, for instance, would it? I remember there was one point at which we wanted to make a point with our local council, and so sat down and added up how many kilometres of protected bike lanes we had. Would you be able to find that if you were a local advocacy group? Would you be able to say, okay, what? Let's get an overview of the infrastructure in our area.
Using the app, you know, you wouldn't be able to sort of add up how many kilometres of the what type of lane exists. But that data set is definitely out there. It would be in the Transport Victoria data set. You would be able to total it all, not through the app, though. You'd have to do it. But, yeah, you could do it in AI. It would literally take, like, 20, 30 minutes, I reckon, using AI. I'd be able to put it all together and pretty easily.
Yeah, cool.
Mm. So we were talking before the show about there is actually a lot of data on some of this stuff from black spots or, you know, things going towards bicycle advisory committees. Do you marry that into the app?
Yeah, I'd love to. That's sort of one of the aims is to sort of the routing system is to sort of identify what hotspot corridors are or what hotspot intersections are, and we've actually done some of that work and put it on the VicBug website, not actually on the app.
Uh-huh.
And we would like to build that in one day, just to give advocacy groups a hand and to show people, you know, be careful down Chapel Street, because it shows as a buffered cycling. Oh, actually, I think it shows as a painted cycling lane.
Yep.
Yeah.
But you're probably safer on the road, you know, than because the amount of dooring that occurs.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that sort of information is important. Yeah, and I would like to put it on there at some stage.
Yeah, integrate those different sources so you can paint a bigger picture.
I don't know about you, but I'd like to avoid Chapel Street if I could.
Yeah. that's the great thing about having someone working on the data who, because to go back to the Google example, I know if you put in destinations around me, Google will tell you to ride up Sydney Road. It doesn't seem to know the upfield exists, which,
I suppose that's one of the purposes of the app. It has to be hyperlocal.
Yeah.
The idea is it's community driven. So the idea is to allow people to report their own hazards on it.
Yeah.
And do that sort of thing. And hopefully grow the app organically around people's knowledge of Melbourne.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't work if you tried to scale it to be the whole size of Australia. It has to be just Melbourne
local
focused.
Knowledge.
And then it would be great to get the bug groups involved and actually, you know, report the hazards or get involved in the routing and help people, because, you know, I think what safety would be one of the key barriers for getting people on bikes or commuting to work or...
It is what people report. Is there any scope to add in kind of heat maps, like where are people riding?
Yeah, so that's a really tricky one.
Because there's a lot of different riders using, like where's that data coming from? And
so the data's coming from Strava and the data's coming from Wibber GPS.
Yeah.
And they're kind of the key guys on heat maps, and they don't really want to give it to you because they sell it back
private
to the cities and that sort of thing. I mean, there are ways to do it. It would just mean people would have to log their ride through VicBug, and it's something that I'd like to work on. It's a massive data set, and it's something probably in the future. It would be really good if Strava and Wibber GPS did share that information for free, but to my knowledge, I'm pretty sure you have to pay for it.
And Google don't either. Google know where all those phones are going.
Google definitely don't
share
it.
They don't know. And they charge councils a fortune. So
it's a revenue stream. I mean, the businesses, it's a revenue stream. And I think that's, why this is a non-profit. The idea is to try and get all that information and data out there and use it to help.
Yeah.
So let's drag it back to a local level. Have you found the bugs to deal with?
Oh, actually, to be honest with you, this is kind of, it's new. You know, the app's only launched sort of 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I haven't reached out to anybody yet. We haven't marketed it. We've probably only got about 16 or 17 users.
I'm one of them.
Yeah. No, I love it. That's great. So, it's new. I plan on reaching out to the bugs, very shortly, and hopefully doing some more work with them.
Because it's, as we've found over the last couple of years, Streets People Love, all this sort of stuff, there's a little bit of a growth spurt going on in a tight-knit grassroots level.
Well, and I think it's like, you know, any community group full of volunteers and advocacy, you're always waiting for someone who's got a particular skill. And when they pop up, they're going to be forever.
That's what it's about, isn't it? Like, bike riding's like such good networking, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can find people across all walks of life and doing all different things. And I think if you can sort of tie that into a community and then build off what people are good at, then hopefully... Yeah, you can expand on it.
So I'm going to play grumpy old bike man now. I know the streets in Melbourne usually run north, south and east, west. If I know roughly where I'm going, I don't need no map. There's a, I'm being a little bit of a hyper that, but the idea that actually sometimes finding your own way leads to discovery, either a Brunswick shimmy that you never knew was there. I mean, I remember following somebody home through Abbotsford and they came up with the shortcut and I've been riding through there for 20 years. I'd never even thought about it, you know. So there's that. There's a little bit of spontaneity about some of it, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I mean, discovering new routes and that sort of thing is fantastic. It's kind of horses for courses, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everybody wants to do their own thing. And I used to love exploring, you know. We've been down some roads in Tasmania.
You've been to Tassie, that's enough.
I would tell people never go there under any circumstances ever again. But, yeah, a bit more of a structured approach now, I find, is enjoyable.
Well, and I think that these apps like this, that is still a form of exploring, and particularly that confidence to go and explore often only comes to people after they've been riding a bit. They need a starting point to find their way around, and then they start to get the confidence to think, well, hang on, where does that go? I'll head down there. And but also the app itself becomes the exploration. Like, you think, well, why is there a green line down there? I should go and have a look. And
that's exactly the point. I mean, look, I think off-road bike paths are the best way for people to build confidence. I know I started riding, I don't know, 5 years ago on bike paths, and and they helped me build the confidence to do anything now. And that's exactly right. If they can use the app to explore, we've got sort of routes on there now as well, so that sort of blend together two or three different bike paths.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a point of interest like a restaurant or a cafe or a darts balls or something like that.
Yeah.
So get people out, get them exploring, looking, and help build confidence, and then maybe, you know, tackle something more or not.
Or not. Mm. Yeah. Cool.
It was lovely Sunday, actually. I know it was a pretty – there weren't too many people on the – bike path, especially the Yarra, because of the rain and something. But still, even that, I think I saw about eight family groups, at least two or three kids. So it was like, you know, even in a, I'm not going to say shitty afternoon, but it was a lovely afternoon, still those family groups are out there.
Well, for kids, it's essential, isn't it? I mean, you don't want to take kids on a road, and you want to find good places for your kids to ride. So,
And if you organise, you look at you can design a loop ride that virtually you'll see one or two traffic lights and that'll be it.
Yep.
So the ability to do it is out there.
So if people want to find out more about VicBug, the website or the app, where do they go?
You can go to vicbug.app. So that's online, and then that will point you where to go. It's iPhone only for the moment, so I'm sorry, Android users. I just haven't got the technical ability. I'm getting there, I promise. Christmas holidays, it'll happen. And then you can download the app on the App Store, sign in, and, away you go.
Cool.
There we go. Now, events.
Events.
We've got one coming up.
Ah, Critical Mass, a really big. So Critical Mass, 30th birthday this Friday.
No.
Right, November, 30th year, November is the birthday.
Birthday, so, but right.
28th this Friday. Critical Mass in the city. Going to be a loop at the city.
Oh, yeah, is it?
You know, going back to the roots.
Yep.
And also considering, you know, the $15 million that's now available for building better infrastructure in the city and surrounding LGAs.
Things have changed.
And, we have to see it used yet. And,
true, sorry.
So big Critical Mass, State Library, usual time, usual place.
Yep. And for all those that have come along to all those birthday rides from many years ago, it would be a shame to let this one slide through without showing up. Because as somebody who's been doing it for a number of years, there's a lovely buzz around Critical Mass at the moment. Really healthy, really lovely feeling, of togetherness. And look, a really different demographic. We're really actually, I really reckon it's going along all right. So if you're not doing it, make a point of showing up on Friday.
Yeah.
And wear a costume if you want to.
Or lights, lots of lights.
Oh, hey.
It's nearly Christmas or something. I don't know.
No more pagan festivals. Come on. That's all we have time for this week.
Coming up next is...
I'm pretty sure it's Shebop, and we will see you in a couple of weeks' time. And...
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.